We would like to welcome you into the services of Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church with Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:45, Sunday night at 6, and Wednesday at 7. We're located just 9 miles out the Kingsport Highway and would love for you to join us. Now, we would like to welcome you into the services of Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus.
1 Peter chapter 5, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, when Jesus, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subjects one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all, and here's the verse that we want to use, and we use here so much, so often. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now I want to, as I've said, use this many times, and talked about this verse many times, and I guess just what Brother Charles said here this morning gives me the assurance that this is what the Lord wanted me to use, because I'm sure that he's not the only one, or his family is not the only family that are here this morning that's had burdens and troubles and sicknesses and trials and hardships and sufferings and all of those kind of things that have gone on in your life. And you get so loaded down with them, and then the devil will come along and whisper in your ear, if God really loved you and if he really cared about you, these things would not be happening in your life. And so that's what I want to preach on this morning. Does he care? Just take that simple text here this morning and ask the question, does he care? And I want you to know there comes a time, and I know I'm human just like you are, and I know that in your life that there comes a time when everyone feels like that nobody cares for you. You feel like that you're going through something and nobody cares about you and what's happening in your life. And so there'll come a time and you'll wonder whether even the Lord cares about me or not. I wonder even, God, if you really care for me. I'm in the worst position. I'm in the worst condition I've ever been in, Lord. And I want to know, does anybody care? And so does heaven care? Lord, do you care yourself? And I want you to know, and I want to tell you this morning, nobody's ever cared for you like Jesus cares for you. There's nobody that'll ever care for you. And so so in this scripture right here in 1 Peter, these Christians, they were being persecuted. They were scattered people. And Simon Peter was writing here to these people that was having a very hard time. They had just been saved. They were new Christian, converted over to salvation from the law. And so they were going through persecution. And so I remember one time that I preached from the book of Esther, in Esther chapter 4 and verse 14, and it says, for such a time as this. And let me say this morning, that I'm 66 years old, and I've never seen a time like we're going through right now. And I'm sure either has ever seen a time like that we're going through now. And so I want us to see right here, it's a horrible time. We've changed. We've changed a lot. I just thought about how it was when I was growing up. compared to what it is today. We think about all the luxuries and all the convenience and all the fact with electricity and washers and dryers and all these kind of things. Remember when I was a kid, very, very small, I remember that Mama would wash our clothes on a washboard. I'm sure a lot of you know what a washboard is. She'd wash them on a washboard, hang them out on the line to dry. Now we have washers and dryers and just throw them in there, take them out, dry them, put them on, wear them. Back then, everything had to be iron. We take our milk down to the spring branch and set the milk in the spring branch to keep it cold. And seemed like that we had all kinds of time. But now, with all the convenience that we have, times have changed. We don't have time for the things of God. I always remember after working in the fields that we didn't have electricity. And we would sit out on the porch for a couple of hours. We'd sit out there and we'd listen to the whippoorwills. We'd sit out there and listen. And we had no battery radio. And we always listened to Wayne Rainey out of Cincinnati, Ohio, play those old country songs. And about 8 o'clock, we'd go to bed. Had all kinds of time. But we're living in a time today when people don't have time, but they've got all the convenience that should allow them to have plenty of time for the things of God. Now, I said all of that for such a time as this. And I want us to see there in the book of Esther the people... The name of God wasn't even mentioned in that book. And the Christians, I want us to see right here in this scripture that the Christians were having a hard time. They were being persecuted. They were suffering. And down through the years, the people that love God, they haven't had it easy. It's been very difficult. Down through the years of facing persecution and all of those kind of things. And so I want to say then, America has it the easiest of any nation on earth. We have it easy. But let me say this right here. We better be thankful for what God has done for us. Is that not right? We better be thankful here that we're not being persecuted like they were then. So if America doesn't get back to family life, I'm afraid we're in trouble. If we don't get back to the family and put the emphasis on the family, when that little family prays together, and when that little family, they study the Word of God together and read together, and what a blessing that is. But here, I want to say, Peter was writing to a crowd that had the awfulest time. They were sleeping in caves. They were sleeping among the rocks. They were sleeping on the mountaintops, and they didn't have any house to live in, and they were driven out. And he said here, listen, you're out there being persecuted. Listen to what I want to say. And they were saying, nobody cares about us. We've just been told about the love of Christ. We've been preached to about how much Jesus loves us. And here we are, as soon as we converted to this, we are suffering and out here in the hills and sleeping in the rocks and all of those kind of things. And they said, nobody cares. Nobody cares what we're going through. And with that in mind, this scripture was written to the people who thought nobody cares. That is the purpose of this scripture. That, and there may be some here today with the same thought. Nobody cares. And so I want to speak. I want God to speak to you. And I want heaven to come down here this morning. Now in chapter 5, the Christians were looking forward to the chief shepherd coming. And what a blessing that is. They were looking for forward to that day when the Lord would come and would gather up his people as little lambs and press them to his bosom, and the Lord would care for them, the chief shepherd. They were looking for him to come. And so these people, they didn't believe that anybody cared. And so Jesus, as all of you Bible students know, Jesus was called three shepherds in the Bible. And he's called the Good Shepherd. That's one of the names. He's called the Good Shepherd. And I thank God that I met the Good Shepherd. Don't you? And isn't God good this morning? Whatever word can you find to describe our shepherd this morning? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He's called in the Word of God. He's called the Good Shepherd. And then he's called the Great Shepherd. And that watches over his flock. Did you know that he can watch over every one of his little lambs at the same time? And he is the Great Shepherd this morning. And then here in this scripture, the third shepherd he's called the Chief Shepherd. Now he's called that when he shall appear, I'll tell you that it'll be a rewarding day. I still believe and persuaded that one day the trumpet of God's going to sound, the voice of the archangel, and the skies are going to split, and the Lord Jesus, the Great Shepherd, the Chief Shepherd, is coming back to get his little flock and take them home. And verse 5 says, "And submit yourselves unto the elders, and be clothed in humility." You don't have to worry about submitting so much if you're clothed in humility, if you're humble here, if you ever get to that place where you're proud. If you ever get to that place where you're stiff-necked, if you ever get to that place where you're high-minded, I'm telling you that you're headed for a hard time when you get all puffed up and proud. I'm going to give you something right here that, and I said it here maybe a couple of weeks ago. Here, I preached it over at the rest home the time that I went. But I want to give you something right here in this verse 7 that I think is so important. And that is here, I'm going to say something that you've never done it, and I've never done it. I wish I could have done it, could do it. I pray all the time that I'll get to the place in my life where that I can do this. But he says right there, he said, casting all. A-double-A-M. Casting all. And you think about that. You think about what he's saying here. Think about every little care that you've got. He said, you don't know what to do with it. You don't know what that little care that's in your life today. You don't know how to handle it. You don't know what the best decision is that you should make about them. You don't have any idea. And so he says, you don't have any business keeping that thing. You don't have any business carrying that thing around with you all the time. That little old trouble or whatever it is. He said, you just throw it upon me. You just cast it upon me. Cast it all your care. Now all of it, think about it. It'd be heaven right here on earth. If we could ever learn to do that. If you would quit worrying. Boy, that's a good thing to tell you, ain't it? Just quit worrying. If we could ever learn to do that, if we quit worrying about every little thing, and bring your as old Brother Mays Jackson used to say, biting your fingernails up to your elbows, and some people that said, if we could ever quit doing that, quit worrying, and quit being so nervous and so frustrated. Been so nervous about what's going to happen tomorrow. So many people can't enjoy today because they're so worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't promise of tomorrow. You better enjoy today. You better live in the present today. Listen, he says right here, he careth for you, and because he careth for you, he will take all of those cares and all of those burdens and all of those heartaches that you're carrying around with you this morning. He will take those things from you this morning if you'll just throw them upon him and cast them upon him and let him handle those things. He says, you have no business of carrying those things around and robbing you of your joy. And so here there's a song that used to say that he will come down from the sky and he will brush the tears from your eyes. Has he ever done that for you? When your heart's been broken and you've been weeping uncontrollably and you didn't know what to do and you were hurting, and then all of a sudden God would come down and with only His presence can do, and only that His peace can do, wipe the tears from your eyes. And so there's someone that cares for you. If you miss everything else I say here this morning, I hope that you'll go out of this church house this morning rejoicing, saying, I know that there's somebody who cares for me. There's someone who cares. If you just get a hold of that this morning, there's somebody here who maybe who is almost ready to just throw up their hands and quit. It very well be. We know that's happening. That does happen. It happens to a lot of good Christians. And so there may be some here wondering whether Jesus really cares what you're going through. If there's somebody here this morning who is lost, who doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you know in your heart as well as you know from the Word of God that if you remain in that condition, that if you die, you'll go to hell. I hope that you, and you see that you need the God, that you need to be saved, that there's no way that you can go to heaven in the state that you're in right now. Even though you're a good person, but you've never been born again. And Jesus said that's the essential thing. You must be born again. I hope that there's somebody here like that. They would come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want you to say to you, there is someone who cares about you being in the lost condition that you're in. There's somebody who cares about whatever's going on in your life this morning. I met a lot of people who say, "Preacher, nobody cares about me. I'm here all alone. Preacher, is there anyone who really cares about my home? Are there anybody who really cares about my children that have gone wayward? Are there anyone who really cares about the predicament that I find myself in?" Yes, there is someone who cares. Does anyone care? I was studying and reading, and Charles Wykel, an old preacher, when he was 88 years old, he got up in a revival meeting, and he said, "In my life I've had many sorrows. In my life I've had many disappointments. I've had many hurts." He said, "Many times I've cried myself to sleep at night." Have you ever done that? Have you ever been that troubled? That you cried yourself to sleep that night of a night? But he said, "One time, I came home down in Tampa, Florida, and my wife said this right here, 'Tomorrow, Charles, I'm leaving you. I don't love you no more. I don't want to be married to you anymore. I'm leaving you.'" And he said, "I was pastoring a big church. I had all my future wrapped up in doing the will of God and the work of God." And he said, "The next morning, I took her down to the train station. And I put her on the train. And I put her on the train. And he said, I haven't heard from her since." Now, he was 88 years old, never heard from her when she left many years ago. He said, "I want to sing you a song." That night, I was getting ready for bed, and I thought, "I'm going to walk down to the pier just one last time." He said, "I walked down to the pier in St. Petersburg, Florida. And he said, I started to jump off the bridge. I started to say, 'My wife is gone. She don't love me no more. The church will probably reject me now, and so there's nobody who cares for me. So I'm just going to end it and jump off the bridge.' And the devil said, 'Charles, kill yourself. Nobody cares about you. You thought your wife loved you. You thought she'd stand by you forever. And then she just all of a sudden said, I don't love you no more. I don't want to be married to you no more. Just go ahead and end it because nobody cares.' And he said, in that moment, the Lord came down to me and he whispered in my ear, Charles, I care for you. I care you. Care for you. He said, I care about your broken heart. I know how your heart is broken. I know, he's saying. And Charles said that very night, he wrote this immortal song, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. Have you ever heard that song? Have you ever read that? Have you ever sung that song? Nobody's ever cared for me like Jesus. Wrote that song when his world had fell apart. When the devil was whispering in his ear, nobody cares for you. And so listen to what I'm saying. I'm glad to tell you that there's nobody ever cared for you like Jesus cares for you. He loves you this morning. He loves you. He cares. And you say, but does Jesus really care? Preacher, that's easy if you get up behind that pulpit. That's what you're supposed to say. But in reality, does he really care? Are there any place in the Word of God that you can show me that he cares about me personally? Well, I think there are some places. First of all, we just need to go to a garden. We need to go there to that garden. The Bible says that Jesus went there to that garden. And he prayed until his sweat became as great drops of blood. And I asked you, do you know why he was praying? Do you know what his prayer was about? Do you have any idea why he was praying? He was praying for you. And he was praying for me. The Bible says that cup stood up over his head. And I want to tell you, does that look like he cared? And that cup. Now we hear people say this. And I want to say this and I want to clarify this morning. Jesus was not praying not to go to the cross. Absolutely not. Jesus knew before the foundation of the world that he was going to have to go to the cross and die for the sins of the world.
Man.
So he didn't change his mind in trying to escape the cross. What he was praying was, Father, I've got to get to that cross. Because if I don't get to that cross and hang on that cross for the sins of the world, then mankind is doomed. He was praying, Father, don't allow the devil to kill me here in this garden before I get to go and die on the cross for mankind. Does that show you that he cares? Does that show you that he cares about you? Does that look like he cares about you this morning? He cares so much that his sweat became as great drops of blood. You say, does Jesus care for me? There's another place you can go. You can go yonder to Pilate's hall. And we all know that story. And there in Pilate's hall and the judgment. And watch them as they spit on Jesus. Watch them as they slap him with their hands. Watch them as they pluck his beard from his precious face. And they mock him. And you asked him, why are you allowing them to do that to you, Jesus? Why don't you prevent them? Why are you allowing men to do that? And Jesus would say, I'm being judged for you. Does that not show you that Jesus cares for you?
Yes.
He was being judged for you. When they were slapping him and spitting at his face. And then the ultimate place. Go yonder to Calvary's hill. There's a cross where he died for you and he died for me. Do you know what cross he died on? I'm sure everybody in here would say he died on the center cross. The center cross. No, that was true. He did die on the center cross with a thief on each side of him. But the cross that Jesus died on was my cross. And it was your cross.
Amen.
It was the cross of every person that's ever been born into this world. He didn't deserve that cross. It's you and I who deserve that cross. And so He died for your upon your the cross for your sin. And I'd ask you, does that sound like He cares? Boy, that'll be shouting ground. If you hadn't shouted in a long time, you ought to shout, Jesus loved me enough and cared about me enough that He died in my place on the cross of Calvary. What a blessing. What a blessing. Jesus cares. You come with me to the cross. Just think about it in your mind this morning. Just close your eyes and try to get a visual picture of Jesus hanging there on the cross. And you get up so close to that cross there in your mind that you can hear the dripping of the blood as the blood dripped from His precious body. And then just get a little bit closer up there and you can hear the heartbeat of the Son of God as He's hanging there on that cross. And I believe if you do that, you'll say, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He cares. He cares for me. He died for me. My heart's broken. When my heart's broken, He cares for me. When I'm disappointed and hurting, He cares for me. And I want to ask you a question. Does Jesus care? I want to give you five people. Very rare. I probably won't have time, but boy, time has got away from me. I won't give you all of them, but I would share just a little bit with you here. Jesus cares about the least in the kingdom. Jesus cares about the least in the kingdom. You say, preacher, I'll never be able to teach a Sunday school class. I'll never be able to sing solo songs for His glory. I'll never be able to sing in the choir. I'll never be able to do any of these works and these jobs in the church. I just won't be able to do these things. I'll never even be able, preacher, to go and take up the offering and stand there and pray a prayer by myself in front of everybody. I'm the least in the kingdom. I'm least of all the members in this church here. Nobody would miss me. Nobody would miss me if I was gone. I'm not the prominent one. Preacher, nobody would care about me. Yes, if you feel like you're the least here in this church and you could never do any of the jobs that are prevalent, that people are seen doing, I want you to know that you're just as important in the eyes of God as anybody else is, and Jesus cares just as much about you as He does anybody else. He cares about the least in the kingdom.
We would like to thank you for listening to the services of Brother Oscar McCamus. For more information about our church, please like us on Facebook at Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church or visit our website at uniontemplefwb.org.